genuinely sit down with a pen and paper and write, I'm not even going to call it a love letter. I'm going to say a letter that was very kind.
A kind letter.
You know, like, what made you think to do that?
Because everything that I was giving him was not enough. So what else can I do that will prove to him that I care for him and that I want our relationship to continue?
And you wrote them on paper, put them in an envelope, and mailed them.
Uh-huh. Postage and everything, yeah. And he did not receive it for, I don't know, like 2 days. And with those 2 days, I'm just like, just get the letter. Just get the letter. Just get the letter.
Yeah.
And then when he got the letter, he like sent a text where he was like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much. He was flabbergasted. He was speechless. Yeah. It was great. Didn't last very long.
Yeah. We can talk about that later.
We can talk about that later.
But I just like the thought of, you know, like taking the time out of your day.
Yes.
Getting a pen,
paper.
Paper, envelope, stamp.
Yeah.
Everything. And like sitting down and doing it. Like that is something I think in present day right now that is so special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take the time to do that. Like you could write a text, an email. But you could literally share a note with him. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And like you put it in the mailbox. He got to open the envelope, pull it out, see your handwriting. Like,
keep it, reread it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't write him just one love letter. I continued to write him love letters because I think I wrote him about 4, maybe 5 in our time lapse of dating. And the fifth one, so with each love letter that I wrote, probably like the first one and the second one was very well received. It allowed me to keep writing them and be like, okay, well, this is enough. This is showing him how I feel and it's being perceived and he accepts it and then it applies to our relationship and everything's good again. But then it started to not do that. He started to say, you are someone different in the letter than you are in person. And for that reason alone, I cannot trust you. Like how, what you're saying to me right now, how can I trust that when there's something different in the mail that comes in the next 3 weeks? Like it doesn't add up. The person that's writing to me is like this genuine, wholehearted, warming person, passionate lover, like all of this. But then the person that's in front of me is doing all these things that I don't like. So how is that the same person that's writing me all of these letters?
But he was putting the things that he didn't like. The one time you didn't hold my hand in public, the one time he's like combining all of that together and saying, okay, well, these instances don't match up with this like heartfelt letter that you wrote to me.
Yes.
So
therefore it's not the same person.
Correct. So now all of a sudden
there's trust issues.
Yep. This doesn't collide and this doesn't match. So trust issues.
Yep.
Which is
crazy. Uh-huh. So then I remember like this one, so he was in between places and he finally like found a spot at a hotel that he was staying at. So we had had this blow up fight at the hotel and it was
like, you went to the hotel.
I was at the hotel. We had a blow up fight and then I promptly left. And it was always an agreement in our relationship. He who leaves the fight, the room, the house, wherever we're having the fight, he who leaves, that is a person that ends the relationship. So his hotel room, blow up fight. I literally pick up everything that I have, bags, because I was probably staying the night. I don't remember. And then I leave. And so I'm thinking, all right, well, rumor has it, I just like left his ass. So for some reason, I think he told me to leave. And like, that's why I still had the image in my mind that I was still attached to him. But regardless, he told me to leave. So he gave me the go ahead to go about my business. So I have a free pass to leave the argument and still be with him. So it was like, I still have the attachment. I'm still safe. But he gave me the go ahead to not be in person anymore. In which case, fuck yeah, taking that one. Bye. See ya. So that's what I did. I'm at home. He calls me in my car. I'm like pulling into my parking lot. And he was like, I am so sorry. Like blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he apologized. apologizes. He apologizes. He like admits fault. He's like, and I said, you told me to leave because, I mean, you can attest to this. Like, as far as in an argument, like you hold on to what they say because you know they're going to use whatever you say against them. So you're like, I have to now do the same thing in order to have even a standing in this argument. So that's what I was doing. And anyway, we were having an argument. He was like, well, I mean, like it was a breakup conversation. And he was like, well, I mean, I wish it didn't end like this, but I understand and I hope you well, or something like that. It was very, and I'm thinking, you too. Click. And then we left it on a note of like, if you come to my hotel room or if you come to my townhouse, then that means that you still want to be with me.
Right. So one of you surrenders to it.
That's how we left the conversation. So it was designed for someone to follow. Yes, exactly. Emily just rolled her eyes. So yes. So I went into my house. I did not know. So I left my phone in my car. I did not know that I did this because I was on a one-track mission. Right. So I went to the house. I grabbed a notepad. I then wrote my final love letter to Jack. And I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing. And everything that I feel, everything that I want to feel, everything that like prayers be to God, like giving it to him, even because Jack was so involved in the church. It was so much a part of his life. And a part of me admired it. A part of me feared it because I'm thinking this isn't what I'm used to. So I have to get used to it. Like it was very a strange adaptation for me to conform to in that moment. But I knew he was on a different spiritual level than I was. So I thought that he would relate to me praying in the love letter in a way that would resonate with him. And so I told him, like, I know you're on a different spiritual level than I am, but I am going to write a prayer to God in this love letter that will hopefully serve us both. And so I did. Wrote like a good amount. And then I wrote the rest to Jack and said everything else that it was 3 like pages long.
Single spaced.
Yes. Like wow. Fucking legal pad. Yes.
Like it was long.
Folded that shit up. And then all of a sudden I hear like this banging on the door. And then I'm like, what is that? I just got done writing this letter. Like I'm on my way to go to his hotel room. And someone is like,
you were going to take it. I was going to
like slide it under his door like a fucking coward. Okay, so yes. Slide under his door.
Not a coward. You spent a long time writing.
But I wasn't going to give it to him in person. I was going to like literally slide it because I thought he was sleeping. I thought.
Stamp, mail it.
Oh, I wasn't going to mail it. No, I was going to go back to his hotel.
Mail would be coward.
No. No.
And what time was this?
This was every bit of like
2 a.m.
It was hedging on midnight, if not past.
Okay, so this is all going on right now.
This is all going on middle of the night.
Somebody,
yeah.
Quote, bangs at your door.
Yeah, bangs at my door. Okay. I'm like, what the heck is happening? And so I come down, I open the door, and it's Jack. Oh. Jack is literally trying to get into my house. And I'm staring at him like, yo, I was literally just about to drive to you. And I like am having this letter in my hand. He was like, what? And I'm thinking, wait, why are you here? Why were you trying to like barge into my house? And he was like, what are you doing? Were you just going to like hand me this letter and put it underneath my door?
No,
but I was definitely about to drive over there. And so we sat down on like, there's like this bench outside of my house. And so we sit down on the bench and awkwardly, like, you know, when someone's like reading something, you try to like entertain yourself. 3 pages.
He read it out loud?
No, he read it to himself, but he's just like sitting there like page. And I'm like, oh fuck. He's on the prayer. He's
read
on.
Read it out loud.
She crosses her arms and turns the other direction. No, to me, I'm just like, oh man, he's on the prayer. He's on the prayer. I look like I'm embarrassed. A fool. I'm like, please be done. Please be done. Please be done. Please be done. No, I was just praying for it to be over.
Okay, that probably took him if it was
3 pages.
Single spaced. Yes. Legal pad.
You were on the single spaced.
Because double is a lot less than single. And you have to sit there next to him on a bench while he quietly reads it inside his head for it probably at least took 4.5 minutes.
It was a minute. That's to where horrible. I thought he was like a slow reader.
That's
at first.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. So
What did he do when he quit, when he got done?
Oh, this is the best part.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this.
He goes, fuck this letter. My insides. Like, you know how you crinkle a piece of paper and throw it away? Like, oh, those are bad ideas. Imagine that being your heart, and the fact that in your heart was a prayer to God. And he said,
but he's the most godly man of all time.
He said, fuck this letter. And I went, what? And he goes, you don't feel this way. And I said, I just wrote you a 3-page letter, half of it being a prayer to God, even when you know that I'm not on the same spiritual level as you, but yet I am pouring my heart out to Him, capital H, and to you in an attempt to reconcile what we have and to send it to capital H, Him, to see what He then wants to do with it, because I don't know anymore. You sure as hell don't know anymore, because you're banging on my front door in the middle of the night, and yet you have the audacity to say, fuck this letter, because I'm sorry, that's right, you lack empathy. My emotions mean absolutely shit to you. And I was literally just in a puddle. I remember just being like, what? These love letters was all that I had. This was the quote unquote enough that I had to give to this man. And it still wasn't anything to him. It was still just like, no, you're full of shit. Try again. I was like, how? How do I try again? And he was like, that's up to you to figure out.
No, he did not.
Yeah. He was like, I don't know. You need to stop. What are you doing right now? You're being defensive. You wrote this letter and you're being defensive about it. Because I didn't perceive it the way that you wanted me to, so this is your fault. Like, you didn't write it well enough.
That's up to you to figure out.
That's up to you to figure out. Like, this is the reason why we're having this fight is on you. You left my hotel room. That is your fault. Okay, but you told me to leave, though.
And then you chased me all the way across
and banged down my door.
To my house, and I give you this kind handwritten letter, and you throw it on the ground.
No, fuck this letter.
So how did it end?
It ended with, well, we're going to have to compromise. We're going to have to see this through. Okay, yeah, I think that you're right. We're going to have to see this through.
We'll see how it goes.
And then I went to bed with, like, mosquitoes all over my legs.
Did
and
he go back to his hotel, or did he stay?
He went back to his hotel.
He left.
I'm pretty sure. I don't remember him coming inside. But yeah, like, that was the last love letter that I wrote to him, and it ended in a fight because he didn't believe the words that I put down. And then with him, like, living in this hotel, he never had a home-cooked meal. He lived in it for about 2 to 3 weeks maybe. And by the second and third week, I was thinking, like, I felt empathetic for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a kitchen. He can't make his own food. He can't even make fucking ramen noodles. Like, he can't do this. So how would I feel? Like, I have a home-cooked meal several times a week because I have the ability to do that.
And you love it. Like, you enjoy it.
Yes. And I have leftovers and it works out well. But he doesn't have the ability to do that, in which case I am supposed to be caring for him, and a way that I do that is by making a meal, and I can't do that anymore because he has his own schedule or, like, whatever it may be. So one way that I can show that I care about him is by meal prepping for him and then bringing it to his hotel room. Did I not tell you this?
No. You meal prepped and took it to his hotel room?
Twice.
Stop.
Twice. So, yeah, I did. So, the first time that I did it, he was out volunteering for, like, some group that he was doing altruistically, you know, whatever. So, I knew that I had a window of time to make all of this food, write a note, put into this bag. He gave me a hotel key so I could easily, like, get into the building and up to his room. So, I was able to put it in his mini fridge, put a note on the fridge, and all this stuff. So, I did. And then I kept on, I was so freaking excited for him to call me that night. The one night that I was so excited for him to call me. And he did.
And what did he say?
He was surprised, but like there wasn't much emotion attached to it. Like to me, if someone meal prep, because I gave him five meals that did not have to be heated up. They were all supposed to be served cold because he didn't have a microwave. So like I put legitimate thought into every single meal. Wait, so he would have five lunches available to him that did not require anything. It just required to like be taken out of the fridge and eaten. And I remember and this sounds bad because like I was expecting like, oh my gosh, like I was expecting like genuine emotion and I like, did not get that.
That is a lot of freaking work and he knows it.
I didn't get it. I got, yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, I wouldn't have done it again.
But I didn't get anything more than that. Because to me, I'm thinking, okay, everything that I've done thus far has not been enough. So I surprised you. I not only surprised you, but I also gave you like five meals that you don't have to pay for that are delicious, that were made by me, which should have a lot of impact because apparently Chelsea doesn't do anything for me ever. She doesn't care about me at all. This is showing you that, in fact, I do the exact opposite. Not only did I do that, but like none of this needs to be microwaved. This is literally something you can take out of the fridge and eat yourself. And what am I getting? Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's what he said to me over the phone as he's eating one of the meals that I made for him. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, well, like, he's a guy. Like, he doesn't show much emotion. It's fine. You know, whatever. I'm making excuses for him. So I did that. That was the first time that I meal prepped for him. And then I realized, oh, okay, he still doesn't have a situation worked out yet. He's going to be there for another week. So I did it again. Okay, so the problem in doing this is what I realized later on and in the demise of our relationship is that, yes, he really appreciates it. There's no bad thing to say about it. There's no scolding to be happening. There's no fight to be had. But now you need to keep surprising me because that's how I know you care.
Oh, shit.
Which led to his birthday. I had to surprise him on his birthday.
So everything has to get better and better and better and better. Yes. Every time.
Yes. Yes, exactly. As soon as you give him a reason to expect, he then expects that level continuously. And then if you ever drop below that level, you've done something wrong and you no longer care. So you either have to stay at that level but that's the thing. If you stay at that level, then you're not doing anything to like show me that you care even more about me. Like your love,
you're fine.
You're maintaining it. But like, that's not good enough long term. You have to constantly be going uphill in order for me to know that you care more and more and more about me.
So in the next,
it's never fucking enough. Is like the summary of all of this. It's never going to be enough. If you think that there's a trip that's going to make it better, if you think there's a gift that's going to make it better, if you think that there's anything, anything materialistic, anything emotionally significant.
Don't get an animal for this person, please.
Or pay their bills or anything. Right. Like there is it's never going to be enough for them. Anything grandiose that you do for them, that's just like, they're going to freaking appreciate this more than anybody has ever given them ever. Yeah, they will. They will in that moment. But then guess what? A month from then, like if it's their birthday, if you give them, like if you shower them, guess what? The next birthday you have to do even better. Because if you don't do even better, you don't care about me enough. What, you did this for my last birthday. Like, do you know how much you have failed? How dare you think that in 12 months our love is not as awesome as it was 12 months ago? Like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, where is your mindset?
Oof. Shit.
Oof. So yeah, that's exactly what happened when I made him meals. He then expected it. He then expected me to surprise him even more than what I just did and even more often than what I just did it, which led into his birthday, which led into like him actually moving from the hotel into his actual house, which was a whole different situation in general. But he then expected me to surprise him every single turn. He then expected me to do everything.
Once you did one thing, that was exhausting. A kind gesture from yourself, like
yeah,
genuinely kind. It was like, okay, well,
this
set the bar for yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, in 2 weeks, we have this holiday, Valentine's Day. You gotta go up here. Well, in the next 2 weeks, we have spring break. Literally, whatever it was.
And if you don't do it, you don't care about me.
You don't care. And again, like you said, it cannot be even keel, like another great, nice.
Nope. Whatever. It cannot be maintained.
It has to be one-upped every single time.
Yep.
And if you don't.
And if it's maintained, then that means you did something else wrong. You didn't hold my hand enough. You were on your phone too long. There's always, okay, if they want to pick a fight, they will.
Yeah.
You cannot stop them from making a fight.
Literally the perfect ending for probably every episode. If they want to pick a fight, they will. And you're gonna feel like shit every time, even if you know it's wrong.
They can make a fight about anything.
Right, but you know, and you know as well as I do, they can make a fight about anything, but at the end of it, if they hang up on you, say, I don't want to talk anymore, I'm not feeling this, whatever, and they hang up, you're going to feel like shit every time.
Yes.
And they succeed. I mean, they can pick a fight about your hair is parted the wrong way.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, guess who's going to feel like shit?
I need to part it the other way.
You! Right!
Holy shit. Didn't realize how wrong of a choice that was.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault at all. Absolutely not.